Thank the Lord for all that he has done for me. I have a little testimony before I begin. And I hope that it doesn't sound like it's a delayed testimony. But yesterday morning, I was sitting at my dining room table, and I was just sort of looking back and meditating and looking over the last 8 or 9 months, and I came to the conclusion that God is bringing me out into a wealthy place. I look at the segment of that 9 months, and I wonder, what would my life be if I didn't have that? What would have been my trials and my tests? And God ordered it. And he meant for it to work for my good. And I didn't always see that. But I'm seeing it more. So I do thank the Lord that he's in control. I'd like for you to turn to a song to start out with, and I don't know exactly why the Lord just brought it to my mind sitting there, but I would like for us to sing the first and last verse of 151, More Like Christ. And I do desire your prayers for the Lord to bless in the word this morning. It's somewhat different from what I'm normally accustomed to. So let's sing verses 1 and 4.
More like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. All his grace is rich display.
I'd like to begin this morning with a life comparisons of two Bible characters. They resembled each other in many ways. And the common thread of both accounts was their utmost faithfulness to God, and God's utmost faithfulness to them. So both of these characters were very outstanding, and both have been and are highlights when introducing the Bible stories to children. This week I've been studying in the book of Daniel. I have it on audio, and I listened to it several times, and then I took the book and began to read and study it myself. And I, if I was to describe the spirit of the book of Daniel, I would say it has a very sweet spirit, and that it ministered to me and it drew me. And what I hope this morning is that we will feel the same. This is maybe just a discourse about the book of Daniel, and I trust that the Lord will help us to get something from it. So the scripture said in, let me scroll down, Daniel, the 6th chapter in verse 3, it says, Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And our burden this morning is an excellent spirit. And I hope that we can apply some of this, these lessons or this lesson to ourselves in this age. It's very important that we also have an excellent spirit. The counterpart that we want to compare is with Joseph. So we're going to be comparing Joseph and Daniel and how closely their lives were similar. I want to say this. In Pharaoh said this. He said about Joseph. Now, we've already read what was said about Daniel, that he had an excellent spirit and he was set over the whole realm. Well, something very similar was said about Joseph. It says, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and I'm paraphrasing some of this, and all my people, and only in the throne will I be greater. So both Daniel and Joseph had similar acclamations. There was a recognition of the Spirit of God being in these two men. So both Daniel and Joseph, here's the similarities. They were both taken as slaves in a foreign land. And they were both in a heathen land where they worshipped heathen gods. But they both maintained integrity with God, and they continued to look to the God of heaven. It did not change them because they were, number one, they were slaves. That was not easy. We know that especially with Joseph, we can read more or less between the lines how difficult it was for him to be sold into slavery. Both Daniel and Joseph were about the same age when they were taken into captivity. The scripture verifies that Joseph was only 17. But historically, they are saying that Daniel was between the ages of 15 and 20. So he was fairly about the same age as Joseph when he was taken into captivity. Both Daniel and Joseph blessed God, were blessed of God with the gift of interpreting dreams and visions. Both of them were. In both of their gifts from God, it's what opened the door and led them to the positions that they held in their captivity. Positions of honor and positions of authority. Both of them stood for what they knew was right, and demonstrated great courage. Some of this could be a message all by itself. Both Daniel and Joseph respected and showed honor to the rulers that they served. History shows that Daniel and Joseph both lived past 100 years old. I believe the scripture says Joseph was 110, and it's not an exact date or year for Daniel, but it said he lived past 100 years old. So the conclusion of these comparisons is that both of these godly men, neither Daniel or Joseph, according to the scriptures, failed God nor showed any rebellion. That's commendable. Did you know that both of them could have been bitter, could have been resentful to be in a foreign land, surrounded by heathen worship? They could have said, "Why, I'm not going to help this king. I'm not going to do anything to aid them," but they didn't do that. They gave themselves of themselves in the manner in which God really called them to. Both of them, this was ordered of God, that they would be a blessing to other, what we would call unreligious people, worshiping heathen gods. We could look at that, well, I'm not going to touch that. That's not going to help. I'm not going to be a help. But they didn't have that attitude. They showed no rebellion. They showed no unforgiveness. They could have been unforgiving. Joseph could have been unforgiving to his brothers. Daniel could have been unforgiving when we read the part of the men that tried to frame him, where he would be put into the lion's den. He could have said, "I'll never forgive them for that." I think that's why the book of Daniel was so sweet. The very overall spirit of the book of Daniel was just, that's all I came away from. I thought, oh, this is such a sweet book to read. I'm sure we've all read it before. So the next part of this little thought this morning, I've only given you the comparisons of the two, because I feel like it should be a challenge to all of us. Daniel should be a challenge to us. The three Hebrew children should be a challenge to us. But Joseph is often, I've said it, and I've heard others say it, Joseph was their favorite Bible story. It's been mine. But you know, I have another favorite now. So I'm going to read some of the events. And did you know that some of the events that took place in the book of Daniel the events in Daniel surpassed any other events that were recorded in the Old Testament? And I had not thought of that. I read that in my commentary in the back of my Bible. So as we do this, let's consider that these are outstanding events that didn't happen with any other Bible characters in the Old Testament. So I'm going to start at chapter 2. And I'm going to, some of it we will read from the scriptures, and some I'm just going to paraphrase for the sake of time. This is when Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. But when he awakens from his dream, he's very troubled about the dream, but he can't remember what the dream is. So he calls all of his magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, all of those that should have been a help to him, and he said, I want you to tell me my dream because I can't remember it, and then I want you to give the interpretation of it. So this is what they answered him. There is not a man upon the earth that can shew the king's matter. There is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things. First time that a ruler of any kind has had a dream and can't remember it and requires somebody else to tell them what it was. Never happened before, and it may not have happened since. And so these magicians and these astrologers, they are telling the king, no, this has never happened before. And it is a rare thing the king requireth, for there is none other that can shew it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with the flesh. At least they understood that there was another power that could reveal what he dreamed. Well, we know the account that Nebuchadnezzar said, you'll all be put to death. All of the wise men, which included Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, included them. So I'm going to be reading now from verses 17, the second chapter, to 20 and 22 and 23. So it says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his companions. Now it actually said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and this was his prayer. And Daniel said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He revealeth the deep and secret thing. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God. Isn't this precious? Amen. Who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known what we desired of thee. And the rest of the story, we know the rest of the story. It was the exact dream. What God revealed to Daniel, it was the exact dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And we know that the wise men were all spared. And in this particular dream, there was great prophecy of the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, it seems almost, I don't know, I've questioned it a little bit, how God used Pharaoh, gave him dreams that worked to spare people's lives, revealed what was going to happen in the future, and it's the same with Nebuchadnezzar. God gave this heathen king prophecy that affects you and me today. Isn't that marvelous? Yes. It was a prophecy that included kingdoms of the earth, but the prophecy said, and this is what it says in that scripture, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall stand forever. And that's what blesses us. We know that the kingdom of God is never going to be taken down in this time world. That the plan of God was some way revealed to a heathen king. In both cases, isn't that remarkable? Can't put God in a box, can we? He will use and choose to use whomever he wishes. So the thought came to me of that you and I are the benefactors of this great prophecy in Daniel. So we're going to move on to the next event. And remember, it's outstanding and it surpasses. And we do understand what was surpassing in that event was the fact that it had never been requested to reveal the dream and the interpretation. Never before, never since. So that was the outstanding part of that event. So in this one is in the very next chapter, chapter 3. And Nebuchadnezzar has made a golden image. I think that this particular event has always been very outstanding to me. And I think that we do try to apply some of this in our battles of life now, this event. So Nebuchadnezzar is requiring all of his princes and his governors, his captains, judges, counselors, etc. And they were to fall down and worship the golden image at the sound of the music. But three young men refused. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were reported to the king and that they would not bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar called them to him and gave them one more chance. To me, the answer that these three young men gave Nebuchadnezzar will forever be outstanding. To me, it... Now, this may just be my opinion, but it possibly could be the most outstanding answer that's recorded in the Bible. So they said, they answered and said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I find that so sweet and precious. And it speaks to us today that you and I would have the same excellent spirit, that we would have the same convictions, that we would serve only the one true God. Oh, you might say, well, we're not even tempted to serve any idols or bow down to a golden image. No, we're not. But you know that there can be other idols in our life that we can bow down to. And it will affect us. Amen. We need an excellent spirit. Amen. To have this spirit and this determination and the same. I'm going to trust in the Lord no matter what. And it's not, I'm not telling you it's all about divine healing. It's across the board. It's in every detail of our life, of living for God and not compromising and not landing down in the truth and not watering down the truth. I want to tell you, as the day approaches, we need to be stronger in our trust in God's word. We need to believe it with all of our heart. So that's what I see in this statement. Now, when they refused, the scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He demanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter. And then he demanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cast into the furnace. And what happened next is so astounding. So, I'm going to say magnificent. Because Nebuchadnezzar, it said, the scripture said, was astonished. And he said, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And, you know, a heathen king, how could they know what the Son of God looked like? Some way there was a witness to this king that fourth man in the fire was a god, the Son of God. So he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the furnace, and they came forth. And this is what the scripture also says, that all of the men, I'm paraphrasing there, looked upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Isn't that really surpassing anything that had ever happened in the Old Testament before, and we have not heard of it or read of it since? Oh, God was so faithful to these faithful men that refused to bow, that refused to compromise their worship of the true God. Now let's move to chapter 6. This is the chapter in which Daniel is put in the lion's den. Daniel had been greatly favored, and he was under another king by this time, Darius. And Darius had promoted him and to a very superior position. He was actually the number one president. And the other presidents and the princes were moved to jealousy. The scripture doesn't say that. We read that between the lines. So they began to look for an occasion to accuse and be against Daniel. So in Daniel, this is chapter 6, and it's from verse 4. But they could find none occasion, nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in Daniel. I just find that so precious. Again, it made me feel like this was such a sweet book to read. Daniel had such an excellent spirit. So we know the account that the wicked men, we're going to call them that, I think the scriptures calls them, wanted the king to sign a decree that no one could ask a petition of any other but the king for 30 days. And if anyone did, they would be cast into the lion's den. So now we're going to look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed. Okay, isn't this sweet? He didn't change. He heard that the writing was signed. Now it was going to be the law. What was his reaction? When he heard, he knew the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. His integrity didn't change. He still maintained that excellent spirit. He was fearless. He had courage. He knew the result. He knew that he was directly opposing the very law that the king had signed. And he knew what would happen. And he still did it. Isn't that precious? Doesn't it speak to us? Isn't it a little message in there for you and me? That we won't change because the laws of our land changes? The threat of what might happen? Oh, we don't know the future. We don't know if we will face persecution. But are we going to love God supremely and trust in Him without reservation? I'm going to still live for God, you know. Down through the centuries of time, there have been other people that gave their lives, laid down their lives. During the time of the martyrs, there was one martyr that I heard about, a young woman, and she had a little child, and she loved that child dearly. She became a Christian, and she was worshiping with the Christians when they were arrested. Her father had a high place in, this is a true story, he had a high place of authority in the government. He was very embarrassed that his own daughter was a Christian, and so he went to her and he pleaded with her to recant. She's already in the jail where they're holding them. And he used the little child as part of his leverage. Don't you love this little child? Oh yes, I love my little child. And then he said, don't you love me? Well, yes, I love you. You're killing me if you don't recant. She was under great pressure. So he went to Caesar, and he appealed to Caesar to let them try one time. And Caesar said, if they will even take a pinch of, I don't know what it was, they were offering it unto another god.
Incense,
that's it. And so the father said to her, just do the little pinch. It won't matter if you don't really believe in that God. And you don't have to do it in your heart. Just do it to satisfy Caesar. No, I can't do it. And all of the, I believe there were 6 Christians that were arrested at that time. And all 6 of them refused to do a pinch to save their own life. It's a marvelous story, really. The pastor of this little group was not arrested the first time. But do you know what he did? He went and he offered himself to be with them, to give his life. He didn't have to. He was not arrested the first time. Oh, I'll tell you, when we want to live for God more than anything else, we'll live for God. We won't compromise just a pinch. That's what I see here with Daniel and with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's what I see with Joseph. Joseph, he didn't defile himself when he could have. Nobody would have known what he did. It was just him and Potiphar's wife that was in the house. Nobody would have known. But he would not defile himself before his God. You know, Joseph, I mean, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, when they were first in the king's realm, the king wanted them to eat special meat and drink special wine, and they said, no, we will not defile ourselves with the king's meat. They kept themselves before God honorably. God is calling for all of us today to keep ourselves before God honorably. And so Daniel, it happened. They found Daniel praying before his God, and they reported it to the king. And this is what the scripture says, that when the king heard it, he was sore displeased. You know who with? Himself. Because he didn't recognize the trap. He didn't see it coming. But he was displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And the scripture says he labored till the going down of the sun, trying to deliver Daniel from being put into the lion's den. In verse 16, it says, then the king commanded, when he could not change the law. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians. Once it was a decree and it was signed by the king, it could not be changed. And so the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. But this is what the king spake and said unto Daniel, and I'm presuming maybe on his way, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What are the key words here? Thou servest continually. He didn't back up anywhere. He didn't step aside. He continually served God in the same way. Isn't this a sweet story? Oh, I found this book of Daniel so precious. And the king recognized this, so he said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Skip down to verse 18. Then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Was he just not eating that night? No. He didn't sleep all night. And then we go to verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. Verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. I just have a feeling he didn't believe he would be saved. If he was crying with this lamentable voice, he must have thought Daniel was already dead. But he cried with a voice unto Daniel, and he said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Verse 21. And this is another part that makes this story, this account, so precious, is Daniel's answer, O king, live forever. What I see in this is another part of his excellent spirit. Here it was a heathen king, and he still honored him. Verse 22, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency. In other words, what he's saying here, I'm innocent before God, and he helped me. That's part of having an excellent spirit, is to be innocent before God. He found me innocent, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king was exceedingly glad for him. That's all scripture. So these are the three accounts I want. Oh, there's much more that could have been used. Daniel was a prophet. And Daniel had a lot of prophecies that are just nearly as obscure as what you would read in Revelations. One comment in the back of my Bible, it said that the prophecies of Daniel could be linked up with and compared to the prophecies of Revelation.
Yes.
And look how many years before it happened. And yet Daniel was so used of God. And I'm not going to go over and read it. I would like for you to just read the book of Daniel and let it be precious and sweet to you, but God allowed Daniel to know more about the age you and I are in than any other prophet. Why do I say that? Because he revealed to Daniel events that you and I would be able to identify the coming of the Lord more closely than we have. And yet the Spirit of the Lord says, close it up. Don't write it. But Daniel knew it. And he carried it with him the rest of his life. So God used Daniel in a lot of ways. I mean, we have the prophecies are in the back, in the very last end of the book of Daniel, that God revealed the coming, the second coming of Christ. So I have just a little exhortation in closing, and I would that the Lord would open this up to each one of us, that we have an excellent spirit in this age. It just seems like to me and that the beginning of this year that we have turned a corner some way. I feel that God is wanting us to be fully aware of our heart. The scripture says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater. But it says, if our heart condemns us not, if we have confidence, then we have confidence. If ever there was a time that you and I needed to be on our guard, it is now. I'm not prophesying. I can only tell you what I feel in my heart. But I believe that the Lord is coming again. I'm thinking and looking back over the last number of years, and I'm going to ask you this question. When was the last time you saw a sign on the back of a vehicle, Jesus is coming soon? Or have you noticed any billboards along the highways, Jesus is coming soon? Anybody? They're not there. They've been phased out. But there was a time, a few years ago, that you would see those signs and people would be awakened, or at least they would think about it. But then it would be as though it was in Peter. Where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, it still is, time goes on, life goes on. So that's where we are. So I think the cry of the Spirit now is, be ready. the cry of the Spirit would be as in Daniel or Joseph or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our integrity is holding strong, that we're not willing to let down a pinch, just a little bit. You know, it seems a little bit hard, but the scripture says that if you and I are guilty of one point, we're guilty of all. That seems hard, doesn't it? And yet God is a God that is faithful to you and me. As he was faithful to Daniel, as he was faithful to the three Hebrews, as he was faithful to Joseph, he's faithful to us. I guess I will never forget when the Lord inspired this scripture to me, and I've used it ever since, and I use it when I pray with anyone at the altar. And it's speaking of a perfect mind, and how many times have you heard me quote this scripture? I'm going to quote it again. I want to remind us. The scripture says, if we do not have a perfect mind, that God will reveal this even unto you. That's how faithful God is to us. If in some way we get off track in our mind, and we're living in a time of human reasoning, of reasoning things out and saying, oh, that's not that important. There's another scripture that says, I'm not quoting it exact, should have had it. It says that if you turn to the left or to the right, there will be a voice behind you that will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's how faithful God is to his people. If your mind begins to reason things out, God's going to reveal it to you. He's faithful. He's just. If we are tempted to turn to the left or to the right, if we'll listen carefully, there will be a voice and it will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't turn to the left or the right. I'm believing that we are in a dark time, but there's still light. There is still a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, but we have to look for it. We have to allow the Spirit of the Lord to give us light. And we have to seek for it. And what I see, though, is happening is that the world is rejecting light. That's why there's not the billboards that says, Jesus is coming soon. It's not the bumper stickers on the car that says, Jesus is coming soon. Those things have been phased out. And I believe that the world is dead to the thought that time is running out. So I'm thinking in this way, let you and me be light to one another. If the world will not receive light, let us be lights to each other. And let us be examples. Let us encourage one another. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Let's encourage each other with those words. Then we need to be watchful and very careful. And this is my little final exhortation that is coordinating with the Spirit, the excellent Spirit. Did you know we're facing another election? the world around us is going to be in distress. There's going to be another presidential election. Political things are going to be more aired. And those kind of things can affect us. What the scripture says for you and me to have an excellent spirit is to not speak evil of any man. And especially those in authority, I believe the scripture says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. He's got a mansion prepared. Look to that. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through this world. Don't allow the negative things that come out on the airwaves to affect you and me and draw us into saying evil things about those that are in authority. The scripture tells us what to do about those in authority. It says pray for them. Let's not fail to do that. That's the excellent spirit that he's calling for in you and me. We may not agree. We may even, it may distress us. The things that are coming to pass, the laws that are being passed, it may affect us. But let's not forget to have an excellent spirit and pray for those. Pray that God can some way awaken them and cause them to see what they're doing and how they will be judged by it. So we will pray for those in authority. A little song came to me, and it says, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. I'm going to give you one verse of that song. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his hosts defy. A shout for Daniel's band. So that's our little thought today. I would like to challenge each one of you to take the book of Daniel and if I'm a listener. I love audio. And I listen to it 2 or 3 times. I love it. But it just whet my appetite to read it. And I felt such a sweet spirit. I would like for us all to be challenged to seek God for an excellent spirit in these last days, that we be found as pleasing to God as these men that were represented in our thought today. They pleased God. Pray for me.